Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on CSNCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Baer, and this installment, just like every other, has been brought to you by the Evergood Sausage Company, celebrating 90 years in the Bay Area. And this is yet another good guest that we have coming up before the Raiders play the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday night at Arrowhead Stadium. I thought that I would catch up with Raiders sideline broadcaster and former Raiders offensive lineman Lincoln Kennedy to catch up with him just to get his take on the status of the 2016 Raiders and, more importantly, to compare this group to the dynamic group that he was a part of back in the early 2000s, the last time that the Oakland Raiders were really rolling, to see if there were any similarities between these two groups and if Lincoln Kennedy believes that this group can get to the Super Bowl. We have a very special guest for you on this week's edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast. It's former Raiders offensive lineman, current Raiders broadcaster on their radio broadcast, Lincoln Kennedy. And Lincoln, you probably have the best seat in the house, considering that you're on the sideline. What was it like on Sunday when Oakland Coliseum was absolutely rocking and the Oakland Raiders come back and score 29 unanswered points?
Well, it brought back some fond memories of some of the glory days when I played with the Silver and Black, and that Coliseum was rocking. I remember back in the early 2000s, we were the best party in town, and, you know, along with what the great things the Warriors are doing, you know, that whole complex is starting to turn into a pretty fine setting for the weekends, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Do you see any similarities between this group and those early 2000s groups that you were a part of?
Yeah, well, there are some similarities. I think, you know, back in the early 2000s, you know, when we were coming into our own, I remember in 1999, we went 8-8. And then the following year, we went 12-4. And hosted the AFC Championship game against the Baltimore Ravens. And I see a lot of similarities between that sort of jump, if you will. I came into the season anticipating the Raiders to be a wild card caliber team, and they obviously really surpassed that by having a 10-2 record as they entered December. So some of that success that I've seen that we had back in 2000 is similar to what I'm seeing right now with the Raiders in, you know, 16 years later.
And as a broadcaster, you've covered some pretty bad Raiders teams over the last couple years. What makes this one special? And, of course, I can't think of anybody who thought that this team would be 10-2 right now, but after watching them grow under Jack Del Rio last year, did you anticipate another jump?
No, not to this magnitude. Mm-hmm. As I said a moment ago, I anticipated this team was going to be around, 9-7, 10-6, something like that. I thought that they would be in the conversation to talk wild card. I wasn't ready to concede the division because I just thought generally the division was way too competitive, and so that's what we're seeing now. But, you know, look, they've beaten San Diego once. They've beaten Denver once. They haven't beaten Kansas City. A big game, Thursday night when they go to Kansas City, obviously. They've started to take care of business, but there's still a long way to go, and there's a lot of divisional football that has to be played. And, so there's still a lot of things that you have to do.
What do you think is going to be the key heading into Thursday night's game in Kansas City? You've played there a bunch. It's going to be loud, raucous, and very cold. What's going to be the key to a Raiders victory there?
You can't give the crowd anything to get into. You can't give them turnovers. You can't give them big plays. It's going to be a raucous crowd. One of the best crowds in sports. One of the best towns is Kansas City. They love their Chiefs. They love their sports. So you can't give them anything to cheer about. And one of the great things being on offense, you have the ability. You have the ability to shut them up really quick if you go out there and take care of business and do everything by you. But that's easier said than done, especially when you look at this defense and this team as a whole.
As an offensive lineman, you must love how this organization has gone about building their team. They've invested so much money, so many draft picks into the offensive line. What do you see from this group, which is really gaining a national reputation as one of the elite offensive lines in the NFL?
Well, they like to be nasty, and they like to smash people, you know, which reminds me of some of the glory days that we had back in the day. You know, we had guys like Steven Wisniewski, Mo Collins, Frank Middleton, and Barry Sims, Barrett Robbins, those guys. They all like to get in their people's face and smash them. And it's been an attitude of the offensive line that ever since I've been affiliated with guys like Kevin Gogan, and the list goes on, Robert Jenkins, all the great ones that have come in, Dan Turk, you know, all the great ones that have come over and played offensive line for this great organization has always been synonymous with wanting to smash people in the mouth, wanting to mess them up. And that's what these guys love doing as well.
You've been on a Super Bowl run. You know what it takes to get there. What is it about when the calendar turns towards December and January? What is the key for a team to really make a solid run? Everybody's talented at that point. What gets a team over the top?
The notion that teams that win in November and December play in January, and then you take every opportunity. Because football's a single-game elimination, you got to bring your A game every single week. Especially when you come to the playoffs. If you're so fortunate to be able to host the playoffs, get home field advantage, then you've got one less game. But, you know, a good thing for these Raider team is that they've proven that they can win on the road. So, you know, they're undefeated on the road. So that's something good, and let's hopefully keep that up. But right now you're vying for that number one spot because you would like everybody, the road to Super Bowl, to have to come through Oakland.
Once again, you are listening to the Raiders Insider Podcast. We have Lincoln Kennedy on the line, and this interview is sponsored by Evergood Sausage Company, making great sausage in the Bay Area for the last 90 years. Now, Lincoln, I think that you would have a very interesting perspective as an offensive lineman. When you look at tape of a guy like Khalil Mack, as an offensive lineman, what are you thinking going up against a guy like that, and how do you deal with him because he just seems to pose so many problems?
Well, he's got speed. He's got power. He's got everything all the great ones did have possess. You know, I remember playing against the blurring speed of Derek Thomas and then coming to the finesse and, as I call, slipperiness of Bruce Smith, going to the power, the strength, and the finesse that was Reggie White. You know, some of the great ones, Leslie O'Neal, Neil Smith, all the great ones that played, you know, back in the day. This is what Khalil Mack is a combination of. And to be honest with you, as when you prepare, we had a saying back in the day that we had to bring a lunch. Had to bring a lunch when you were playing against this guy. And that's the reason why, the reason being is because he was going to challenge you every play. So you had to really pack a lunch and know that you're going to be in it for a full day.
You know, now that you're on the broadcasting side of things, you work for 95.7. You obviously cover the Raiders broadcast. You work for the Pac-12 network. When you were still playing, did you anticipate maybe going into this line of work, or did this kind of come upon you later on in life?
No, it came upon me later on. I really had no idea I was going to go into broadcasting. Something I fell into, was approached by the NFL Network when I came out of the game and then got my first taste of it and been involved in it ever since.
Is it nice to kind of be able to stay involved in the game in some way, obviously without having to go through all the practices and training camps, but you're still immersed in football? That must be a nice thing.
Well, it is a nice thing. I'm not getting as big a check as I used to,
right,
but it's still nice.
And just, you know, as a side note, you are a Washington alum. What are your thoughts about them being in contention for a national title? I believe it's the first one since you were there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's right. It's true. 25 years later, they're actually in contention to make something happen and possibly, you know, chase a national championship. They're in the playoff. But they got, it's not going to be an easy road as well. I mean, just like the Raiders, they've got their work cut out from them, in front of them. They got to go take on what I like to call as a grown man football team. That's Alabama.
Is this a real fun time for you? Your alma mater is in the college football playoff. You're following a team that's 11-2. I'm sorry, 10-2. I know that you're not playing, but do you still get excited for Saturdays and Sundays like you used to? Like, does it still mean something?
Yeah, it still means something. It definitely means something because I'm involved in it. So whether it's working for the Pac-12 Network or calling the games on the Raiders sideline, still being involved and immersed in it means something to me every time I get a chance to watch, especially teams I have affiliation with.
All right, Lincoln, I'm putting you on the spot here. How far do you think that this Raiders team can go? It seems like playoffs, they could have that nailed up this weekend, or at least at some point. Do you anticipate a deep run into January?
It's still too hard to say. I've never been one of these guys that looks into the crystal ball and tells you what happens. I'm certainly optimistic because I've seen this team win on the road. However, I think the Raiders are part of the most competitive and matched division in college. I mean, in professional football. San Diego's playing a lot better. Kansas City, you know, is dangerous. Denver has this times where it's dangerous too. So I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that the Raiders are poised to win it. I think the division is much too strong to go that far, but they certainly put themselves in the best position, and they have to keep it going, from here on out.
Lincoln Kennedy, thank you very much for taking the time. Greatly appreciated, and I'll see you in Kansas City.
Sounds like a plan, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening to this week's edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast. A very special thank you to Lincoln Kennedy for taking the time during a very busy week of his before he takes off for the Midwest. And also a thank you to the Evergood Sausage Company celebrating 90 years in the Bay Area. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast, and if you did, feel free to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.
The Raiders Insider Podcast on CSNCalifornia.com.